ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in here to Red Ice TV. Appreciate you joining us today. We have a really important and interesting interview lined up here for you guys today. We're going to talk a bit more, of course, about the situation with the U.S.-funded and, in some cases, operated as well, biolabs, not only in Ukraine and not only in Georgia. That's kind of where I think our story will begin here today. But many countries around the world, in fact, all over Eastern Europe, there's a lot of problems. All of this, of course, is coming out now because of what's happened with Russia going into Ukraine. And, of course, the U.S. is scrambling. First, they were denying it. Then they were covering up documents. The World Health Organization urged them to destroy the pathogens that they had in the laboratories. This is all over the place, and it's gotten a lot of attention, which is good because people need to know about this. But this has been going on for a long time. This is not this didn't just happen 2 weeks ago. We're talking decades and decades. The Pentagon, the DoD, has a long history of doing research on bioweapon, even testing on their own population, by the way. And it seems to me like they're using Ukraine, Georgia, and all these other countries as their kind of playground, essentially. It's absolutely crazy. But our guest today is Diliana Gitancheva, and she joins us from Bulgaria. She's an independent journalist. It's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a bit how you kind of got started on this, because I first learned about you regarding this documentary that you have on your YouTube channel regarding the situation in Georgia. Now, that goes back to, the so-called Rose Revolution. I think that's 2005. Kind of the same scenario, if you ask me, really, where they're using another Eastern European country, a former Soviet country, as a kind of a sledgehammer against Russia of sorts, right? They're using it as a proxy in their war. When did you get involved in the research on the biolabs in Georgia?
I started investigating these Pentagon-funded biolaboratories in 25 countries around the world. It was 2018. I learned about a Pentagon-funded biolaboratory, $171 million biolaboratory by a local journalist from Georgia. I did my research. I verified this information, and it turned out that the Pentagon had funded and had spent $2.1 billion on biolaboratories in 25 countries around the world. I went to Georgia. I met with local people and insiders. I collected a lot of information and documents originating from this program. Local people told me that they had witnessed death cases related to Pentagon contractors working inside this biolaboratory. They told me that since the Luger Center, this Pentagon-funded biolaboratory, became operational, it was 2016, around this time, they started witnessing a lot of worrying symptoms of pollution in the air, in the soil, in the water. They started experiencing symptoms of like poisoning that was not typical of the area before. It is worth noting that this biolaboratory, it is built inside a residential area, which is very densely populated area. And the laboratory is literally adjacent to the block of flats where people live. And they told me that in one case, Pentagon contractors who were Filipino nationals, they rented a flat in this residential area because they worked in the laboratory. And one day they started shouting, "Help me, help me." So the neighbors jumped to help them, and they called the emergency services, but unfortunately, two of these Pentagon contractors died, and the doctors told the local people that it was probably something like poisoning, but no further information was provided and everything was covered up. When I asked the local authorities about this story, they told me there wasn't such a case, nobody died. Although local people that I filmed on camera, they provided their testimony on camera and they told me about these death cases. I met with insiders and they told me about an experimental program on experimental treatment of hepatitis C in Georgia. It was a US-sponsored project, and as a result of this project, 248 patients enrolled in this program died. In the majority of cases, their death is indicated, the cause of death is indicated as unknown. This is according to confidential documents originating from this program. I continued investigating further, and it turned out that the Pentagon has deployed a special military unit called the U.S. Army Medical Research Unit Georgia. Its scientists have been accorded a diplomatic immunity to research deadly viruses, bacteria, and toxins without being diplomats. I even tried to talk to one of these military scientists who was the deputy director of this Pentagon unit. It turned out that he was an entomologist, scientists that study insects, and this man was driving a diplomatic car. He ran away. He refused to answer my question, but I was really shocked. Why did he drive a diplomatic car? He was entomologist, a scientist who study insects. And then, according to documents originating from this program, this research on insects as possible vectors for deadly diseases is a major program taking place in this laboratory. That is why the deputy director was an entomologist.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Russia warned about this back in 2018 as well. I'm showing the headline here. And again, the mainstream U.S. and in the extension of the Western response has been, these are exaggerated, crazy lies and conspiracy theories and disinformation and all that kind of stuff, right? But now it's coming out. I think they can't cover it up anymore. In fact, as you know, even Victoria Nuland kind of by de facto admitted that they do have research labs there. Now they try to claim, of course, oh, it's to keep people safe, right? We're developing these deadly pathogens. If something happens, we have a vaccine or something like that, right? But the situation in Georgia has been really bad because, as you say, a lot of locals there are having symptoms of things. Has there been any answers as to what this was? Has there been any kind of, as far as you know, bigger coverage by, let's say, national media in Georgia about this?
No, there wasn't any answer or investigation, and I will explain why. Because according to bilateral agreements, science between Georgia and the United States, all U.S. Government personnel, including these military scientists, their work in Georgia fall under special provisions for legal protection. And according to these provisions, these military scientists cannot be held to account if they cause death or injuries to the local population arising out of activities under this agreement. Ukraine also signed such an agreement with the United States. And that is why if, as a result of this program, something happens to the local population, these scientists and the United States cannot be held to account. That is why the United States had funded such biolaboratories exactly in such countries like Georgia, Ukraine, even my country, Bulgaria. They are starting such a program on Bulgarian soldiers this month, simply because these countries are, the governments of these countries are very corrupt. They don't defend their national interests, no, but they work for the interest of foreign governments. Furthermore, according to a 2005 agreement between Ukraine, the Ukrainian Ministry of Health, and the Pentagon, certain information related to this program of the Pentagon on biological research is sensitive information. The Ukrainian Ministry of Health is not allowed to publicly disclose this sensitive information. The Ukrainian side is obliged to transfer deadly pathogens to the Pentagon. Why did the Pentagon need such deadly pathogens in the first place? All these agreements and all these provisions for legal protection, they begs the question of why these military scientists needed diplomatic immunity against prosecution. Why no legal proceedings were supposed to take place in case of fatalities or injuries to the local population? If the activity of these scientists in Georgia, for instance, or even in Ukraine, were for the benefit and for the good of the local population, then why are these provisions in the bilateral agreements? What for? Also, according to internal documents, again, originating from this program, the United States conducted biological experiments on 1,000 soldiers in Georgia and 4,400 soldiers in Ukraine.
Yeah.
According to these documents, and it is written, I'm quoting now the exact quotation, all volunteer deaths will be promptly reported. There is no information as to what medical procedures were conducted so that they could lead to deaths. But it is clearly stated all volunteer deaths will be promptly reported. This is a document related to the project, and it raises questions as to what the real goal of this program was. It is stated that the project included blood draws, and this blood collected from the soldiers was tested for the presence of antibodies against bioagents. Bioagents are deadly viruses, bacteria, and toxins that could be easily weaponized and used as bioweapons. This is of great concern. However, both governments of Ukraine and Georgia, they have always denied any involvement in anything worrying and anything of concern that could harm the local population. But all these facts and documents, they prove otherwise,
yeah,
that the benefit or the good of the local population wasn't the priority in this program. Also, recently I published internal documents originating from the Ukrainian Ministry of Health, and according to these documents, the Ukrainian Ministry of Health provided full access to the Pentagon contractors to operate freely inside these Pentagon-funded biolaboratories, while at the same time, independent experts were denied even a visit. The Ukrainian Ministry of Health rejected a proposal made by independent experts to set up a public control group that would monitor the activities of these Pentagon-funded biolaboratories. Their proposal was rejected under the pretext that in these biolaboratories, scientists were working with especially dangerous pathogens, so no access was possible. But at the same time, these Pentagon contractors were given full access, and these Pentagon contractors, they worked under a contract with the Pentagon worth $80 million, $80 million.
Yep.
Now, this money was spent by the Pentagon in 2020 for biological research in Ukraine. You can imagine what this research was, but it cost $80 million. This is information that I obtained from the U.S. Federal Contracts Registry. This is not conspiracy theory. This is not Russian propaganda. All that I'm saying now that I have already provided, and I started investigating all of this as early as 2018, it originates from information from the program, from the U.S. government. This is not Russian propaganda or conspiracy theory, no matter what mainstream media now tries to claim.
Yeah.
This is information based on facts and documents, and people can judge themselves who is fake news and who is propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, you were given, I'm not sure if they're considered leaked document, or you said another, was it another journalist, right, that gave you documents? And then Russia, when this whole thing with Ukraine blew up, they were providing documents as well, and allegedly they've been given to them by people in Ukraine, right, who were familiar with the matter. As far as I know, the U.S. State Department has never offered any documents or proof to the contrary, right? They're just saying, this is just a conspiracy theory, and we're supposed to believe that, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, of course, one of the let me ask you this. How far back do you think that this goes? I mean, we know that the U.S. has bioweapons research in the U.S., of course. The was it Dugway Proving Grounds? That's one area. There's the Plum Island outside of New York. There's there's a number of them now. A number of other facilities that we're familiar with and that we know. But when it comes to facilities, let's say in Eastern Europe, how long back does that go? Do you know?
This program started in the 90s, and it originally started as non-proliferation program that main objective was the destruction of remnants of biological weapons that were left after the fall of the Soviet Union. However, this was 30 years ago. So these remnants of bioweapons or factories for bioweapons, they were destroyed long ago, two or three decades ago. Why are U.S. scientists still there in these biolaboratories? What for? There are no bioweapons left from the Soviet times. No factories for production of biological weapons. This was destroyed long ago. This non-proliferation program, in my opinion, was used as a cover for the Pentagon to set up a network of biolaboratories to conduct biological research. Because here we are talking not about the destruction of biolaboratories that were left from the Soviet times. We are talking about funding and construction and equipment of brand new, modern, sophisticated biolaboratories for biological research. For instance, this biolaboratory, the Lugo Center, it was brand new. It was built a few years ago, and the Pentagon spent $171 million on this biolaboratory. The same biolaboratory the Pentagon built in Kazakhstan. The sum that was allocated for the construction and equipment of this Kazakhstan biolaboratory in, actually they have two biolaboratories, but it was more than $200 million in Ukraine. I mentioned that one Pentagon contractor, Black and Beach Special Projects Corporation, this company was awarded an $80 million contract for biological research. But apart from this contract, simultaneously the Pentagon awarded another American company to rebuild and equip two new biolaboratories in Kiev and Odessa. The duration period was 2021-2023. Why did the Pentagon need so many biolaboratories? And I'm talking about brand new biolaboratories, modern biolaboratories, where advanced biological research could be performed. I'm not talking about the remnants of the Soviet era. So this explanation, it is not relevant anymore, and obviously the objectives of the Pentagon are very different from what they publicly say. Victoria Nuland also, she said that they were very worried that biological research materials could fall into the Russian hands. If these were simple viruses, bacteria, and toxins, then why are U.S. officials so worried that they may fall into the Russian hands?
Yeah.
What are these research materials in the first place?
Yes, exactly. Good point. And, you know, again, we have that World Health Organization coming out. I'm trying to find the article here now. But, yeah, they're basically saying, oh, we recommend that Ukraine destroys these non-existent pathogens in Ukraine. Well, that doesn't kind of make sense, does it now? And, again, the media continues to push. This is as late as March 11th from Yahoo News here. Russia escalates false chemical weapons claim about U.S.-Ukraine by bringing them to the U.N. Did you see that, the U.N. presentation, by the way, that Russia had on the bioweapons?
Yes, I saw the documents that they provided, and they seem absolutely genuine, and they coincide with information that I have already published and researched. And this information came from the U.S. Federal Contracts Registry. So the project that they were talking about, and they presented documents about these projects do exist, and I have seen them in other documents. So they seem absolutely genuine, and I don't doubt the information that the Russians provided. Plus, they also presented this information at the UN Security Council, so they wouldn't present false information at the UN Security Council meeting. And twice, they actually presented such information twice to the UN Security Council in the span of just a week.
Yeah, and you know, continuously, UK, the US, and other countries have said these are just crazy conspiracy theories, and then basically don't debunk them. They just say this is crazy. We shouldn't turn. I saw tweets from, I think it was Armenia, Ireland. I mean, there was many countries, but just to mention a few, where they said that the UN Security Council shouldn't be turned into a bullhorn for conspiracy theories and misinformation. But it's like, well, debunk them then. But that seems to be the tradition of many Western countries now, is just to say that it's lies and conspiracy without offering any proof to the contrary, right? That's the only, and so we're left to, I mean, what are we supposed to believe then? We obviously are left to believe the country that provides documents and information, right?
Absolutely. Plus, they said that it was a conspiracy theory 2 years ago when the pandemic started, and when scientists provided evidence that COVID-19 could have been the result of laboratory work.
Yes.
Inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where the U.S. government also had funded a project. Gain of function research on coronaviruses. In the beginning, they also said it was conspiracy theory. Everybody who dared to doubt this official narrative was immediately banned, deleted on Facebook, on Twitter, on social media. He was smeared, or she smeared and proclaimed threats to the public. You remember, it was 2 years ago. Now, 2 years into this pandemic, more and more pieces of evidence have been provided by scientists suggesting that COVID-19 could have been the result of laboratory work in this Institute of Virology in Wuhan, from where the pandemic started and spread around the world. Again, the U.S. government funded this project. And again, no transparency, nothing. If you read the original documents about this project, it is written, oh, for the benefit of the people, we need to prevent future pandemics. Very beautiful words. But the same like the Pentagon program, it is always for the benefit of the whole world.
Of course.
But we are in the second year of the pandemic. So this is something that, and I'm very grateful to the people that more and more people now have come forward and they have become aware of the risks and the dangers that all this biological research posed to all of us, because the United States have obstructed the verification mechanism under the UN the Convention on the Prohibition of Biological Weapons for 2 decades, so that there is no independent monitoring group that could oversee the activities in the member states, the countries that are that have signed the convention. There isn't such mechanism. Why? Because if there is such independent supervision, the United States should abolish all this biological research or make it transparent and under public control. And we will all know what exactly experiments have been conducted or are underway, and there will be full control. Obviously, the United States doesn't want this to happen. That is why there is no verification mechanism, and the state that obstructs this verification mechanism is the United States, the only member state under this convention that obstructs this verification process.
Yeah, that's right. I'm showing the document here, and this is provided, again, Russia uploaded to, what is it, Yandex, I think, .ru, I think, with a bunch of, a trove of documents about the migratory, like crazy things like that, that not only the ticks, but the migratory birds, right, as a kind of a, I think the wording they used was a covert means to bring pathogens into Russia, right? That was one thing. And as you said, the coronaviruses, that came up. Putin mentioned it recently. And all these crazy things, which they shouldn't be allowed to do, right? But that's why they have to deny it, because they can't, if they would admit it, as you say, there would be a breach of the convention on the prohibition of the development, production, and stockpiling of bacteriological and toxic weapons, and on their destruction, this document that they provided. So that they're only left with this one thing, which is basically to deny, 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 and then if something happens, blame it on Russia. That's what Nuland did, right? It's this perfect deflection that if something would to happen, or let's say even intentionally for some reason, let's say it's a military decision or something like, let's release this, then we can use all this to blame Russia. She was like laying the groundwork for that in the hearing in Congress, right?
You mentioned this project on migratory birds that was performed in Ukraine. The United States, the Pentagon, had such a project, on exactly the same, the migratory birds and their potential to spread pathogens in the past. When the U.S. Biological weapons program was still active before the Convention on the Prohibition of Biological Weapons was enforced. So it was a real project, a major project of the U.S. Department of Defense. It is not a conspiracy theory. Unfortunately, and to be honest, I myself didn't believe all of this, but when I read a lot of declassified documents about the U.S. bioweapons program, I was terrified. There were projects on insects and their ability to spread diseases.
Yeah.
There were projects on calculation about how much money was needed to kill more people for less money. And it was calculated that, for instance, if they spread to Aremia above a city, a relatively big city, the cost per death will be just few cents. Just few cents. Human life will cost just few cents to be taken.
Wow, that's great. That's crazy.
It's so cheap.
Yep.
Biological weapons, actually, they are so cheap. It turns out that they are so cheap to be used and to kill with them.
Yeah.
Much cheaper than conventional weapons.
I guess that would make the Lockheed Martins or the Boeings and the Raytheons upset. But no, I get your point, right? This is if you actually want to take out, let's say, a large swath of a country, a population, a certain ethnic group even, actually, that's one of the things, right? They were taking, and I think that was in your documentary as well, what was it like, basically ligament fluids, right? I forget what the word was, symbiotic fluid or something like that from Slavic people, wasn't that correct?
Yes, there was one recent project in which it was actually solicitation published by the US government and the Pentagon, and they were seeking for prospective contractors that would provide synovial tissue, but only from Russian Caucasians. And in the questions that these prospective contractors asked was, can we provide Ukrainian biological material? The answer was no, only Russian Caucasian. Because Russia, the Russian Federation, it consists of many ethnicities, but they wanted only Russian Caucasians, even not Ukrainian biological material. And Ukrainians and Russians, they are Slavic people. They are almost the same. But no, they wanted only Russian Caucasians, which suggests that probably there has been a project on most advanced biological research related to different ethnicities and biological material. We don't know. There is no information. But the fact that they wanted only Russian Caucasians, not Ukrainians, it is very suspicious, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I remember this story going back to, this is like 1998, I think, Israel was researching at that time ethnic weapons, right? They wanted to target the Palestinian population, you know, crazy things like this, an ethno bomb, they call it. But this has continued as we've learned more and more about genetic, sequencing and gather more data and stuff. I've heard even China's working on their version of this and stuff, right? Everyone is, it's like an arms race now, but within the genetic thing. And I mean, this is really, this we've never been in a territory like this before where you potentially can wipe out an entire people. And again, as you said, with very cheap means, presumably, if they can find the right markers and target the right, genetic sequences, basically. It should be obviously outlawed. But the problem is, even if we set up conventions and laws and all these things, as you said, who's going to uphold them, right? Who's going to be there to ensure? Who's going to be the police? The UN, they're not doing this. They've failed in many regards as well. So there really isn't any checks on this, Diliana.
Basically, the Convention on Prohibition of Biological Weapons allows member states to research bioagents only for defensive purposes. However, the Pentagon has funded such biological research not on its own territory, but in biolaboratories overseas, and mainly in countries bordering on the US main rivals, Russia, China, and Iran. Then, what is the defense here? If this was in the United States, okay, they can say it was for defense. But when this is taking place in overseas biolaboratories, and especially in countries bordering on Russia or China or Iran, where is the defensive purpose of this research? I don't see it.
No.
What is used for defense can be easily used for offensive purposes. I also read a lot of documents about the research that the United States has conducted in the United States on bioagents, and I was shocked because the United States actually it regularly produces bioagents and tests these bioagents in the form of aerosol via different dispersal methods such as smoke, even conventional weapons or drones to disperse such bioagents to assess the potential damage so that the Pentagon will be well prepared in case of such biological attack on the United States. So this is permissible under the convention, although it is a loophole, because if the United States has this knowledge, technology, and program taking place in the United States, or actually producing bioweapons in order to study them, in order to defend itself, then the United States can easily use these bioweapons overseas. It is actually, I don't see how this convention prevents the proliferation of bioweapons. allowing member states to do such a research, which is basically to produce bioweapons in order to test them, in order to defend themselves.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the things that came out of the whole thing with the coronavirus and what happened in Wuhan and stuff. And look, it looks like Wuhan is not... there, I believe, at least, that there isn't just like a national interest now versus another national interest. We're talking in some cases about a, you know, biomedical companies at the top, that they are transnational now. It's not just about advancing one country's interest. In the case of Wuhan, they seem to, of course, you know, that they were doing the dirty work that America at the time did, well, for one, didn't want to do, but also under Obama, that actually outlawed gain-of-function research, right? So they ended up using a third party, EcoHealth Alliance, and that they, in turn, went to Wuhan to do the job there. And so this Project Diffuse is kind of a little bit going into what you're talking about there, where allegedly, and as far as I know, these documents haven't been debunked either. These were leaked a while ago, where they were basically researching a nanoparticle-sized, aerosolized chimeric virus, right? It was actually skin-penetrating, and they have, of course, researched that it was becoming more and more infectious to humans, different combinations and things like that. But that basically means that you could have a compartmentalized military program or something, let's say, where someone, you know, again, I don't know how they would do this, but let's talk about the coronavirus outbreak and things like that, for example. You could have a military program, covert one, where they just walk around, let's say, in a busy mall or, let's say, an airport, of course, where people fly to different parts of the world, and have a backpack on, and it's spraying out nanoparticles. I mean, it sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory in some sci-fi movie, but again, if these documents are true, that's basically what it's pointing to. Now, it should be mentioned as well, EcoHealth Alliance with Peter Daszak, which is a name people know if they've, you know, looked into any detail at all about, you know, the coronavirus or COVID-19 origins, the pandemic and so forth. They approached the DOD or the Pentagon and they asked for $14 million and said, hey, we want to develop these things. And they apparently, at least officially, said no. We know that the Pentagon and the Department of Defense have a black budget, so maybe it was handled there. But presumably, EcoHealth Alliance went to Wuhan instead to do it there. And there was, I think it was Project Veritas, actually, they had a basically like an invoice, right? The lab breakdown. And in that, highlighted in red, there's a big watermark over it now, but highlighted in red, you can see one of the senior researchers there, Zhu, right, doing the work on the Project Diffuse. So apparently they did this, Diliana. They developed these nanoparticle skin-penetrating viruses. What do you make of this?
It's very shocking.
Yeah.
Very shocking and scary, not scary.
Yeah.
So if we now, and these are civil programs. By the way, EcoHealth Alliance had a project in the Lugar Center, the Pentagon-funded biolaboratory in Georgia, on bats and research on coronaviruses isolated from bats. The project started in 2017. The duration of the contract was 5 years. It was around $6.5 million. And I was thinking when I saw this contract, I was thinking, why did the Pentagon need such research on coronaviruses in bats in Georgia?
Yeah.
Even one man, local Georgian, was arrested in an attempt to smuggle a very rare species of bats in Georgia from South Ossetia. And he said that in Georgia there was a black market and of bats, and the price per bat was $5,000. Why did they need such bats, and why was one bat so expensive? I mean, $5,000 for what? There are many questions arising out of their activities, their research on bats. But definitely the Pentagon has taken interest into different vectors that could possibly spread diseases, such as bats, insects, such as mosquitoes or ticks, or other, like our fleas as well.
Fleas, yeah.
Also flies, sand flies. They, in Georgia, they have collected such insects or bats, and they study them. For instance, in Georgia, in the Luger Center, they collected 20,000 ticks. This is a lot of ticks, 20,000. And then they said that they needed these ticks to isolate viruses and to study them. What it seems to me like they were searching for something. What exactly, we don't know. The same with the EcoHealth Alliance project. They sampled so many bats all around the world, not only in China, in many other countries. What for? What did they seek? This is a lot of money, resources, bat samples. That is, it has no explanation. In the explanation provided that they wanted to find potentially pandemic viruses in order to prevent pandemics?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
We saw how they prevented the pandemic. We just saw it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's obvious that the coronavirus pandemic, there's some element to this here where they have genetically engineered this. They've experimented on this, whether it's gain of function solely or it's the creation of a, combination. People have talked about that as overlaps between between HIV and then a coronavirus, like combinations, right? There's all these questions still that we have, all these different theories. We don't have all the answers. But it's clear that this is behaving somewhat differently than other viruses in the past. And this excuse, again, as you said, I've seen, I think it was a Chinese video actually at the time, where they're talking about, kind of proudly, it was like an advertisement essentially, where they're talking about how they've gone deep into this bat cave. No humans are going there, basically. It was like too far deep in there to any layman to go. This was like your professional equipment to get in there. And then they extract this, take the bat feces, right? And they extract a bacteria, virus from it, and they do experiments on it. And the excuse was, all of it was so that we can develop a vaccine. We'll make it more deadly. We'll make it more infectious. We make it, all these new properties that doesn't exist in the natural virus in and of itself, so that we can develop a vaccine if and when it does arise. Well, this is crazy talk. This means, we don't know. Again, maybe the coronavirus thing was an accident. Maybe it was a lab leak. We don't know that yet. But the point is, when they experiment on this thing, either someone will use it at the end or it will get out, right? That seems to be the destined path of this. Again, I think Dillionite should be outlawed. The people that are experimenting on these things, they should be held accountable. We need a trial, over the COVID thing. And there's names now. We know about what's Peter Daszak's involvement. He's still walking around. What about Fauci? All the things that he was doing, right? There's many other names along the way here, but nothing seems to be happening on this front. Isn't this frustrating?
Absolutely. And I made the effort to calculate all contracts that EcoHealth Alliance was awarded, and actually it turned out that the whole U.S. government was involved in that. EcoHealth Alliance worked not only for the National Institutes of Health. It worked for the Pentagon and for different agencies. Even one former employee of EcoHealth Alliance recently, he publicly made the claims that the EcoHealth Alliance even worked for the CIA.
Right.
He made this claim, and he also applied for such whistleblower status. And he's willing to testify, but nobody is taking him seriously, because even not a single mainstream media outlet has interviewed him, although he has provided evidence that EcoHealth Alliance had performed research even before it has been awarded a contract. And he said that basically all scientists work that way. They start their research, 1 year pass, so they have the results of their research. Then they apply for a grant. In their application, it is like they have never started such a research and they are just starting this research and they want a funding for it. But actually, they have already worked for a year in advance, so that they could perform better when applying for these grants because they have already results. This is illegal, actually. It is very dangerous, and he claimed that it is possible that EcoHealth Alliance already started this gain of function research even before taking the or winning this award or this competition to receive this grant from the National Institutes of Health. There is no regulation. It turns out that scientists could do whatever they want without any regulation. This is how it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I was showing on screen here, too. You know, we've talked about EcoHealth Alliance, and earlier even Black and Veatch, which was mentioned by the Russian military, right, as one of the companies that were, I guess, I'm not sure if awarded the contract is the right, taking part, that's the wording they use, taking part in the project, is the Black and Veatch company affiliated with the Department of Defense, right? And then there is this interesting line of thinking, or, you know, kind of flow details when it comes to like who was involved in that, and kind of a link actually all the way to EcoHealth Alliance and even Hunter Biden, Rosemont Seneca. I'm not sure if you looked into any of this, but it's kind of interesting. I guess the go-between is a company called Metabiota is one of the claims. The point is here, what I'm bringing it up to is you have kind of a flow chart of different companies, and those companies that we have seen brought up in relation to the coronavirus, such as EcoHealth Alliance, have a connection here to the things that we've seen in Ukraine. Are you familiar with any of these claims?
Yes, Metabiota, this is a major Pentagon contractor that had performed a lot of work in Sierra Leone during the or around the time when there was an Ebola outbreak in Sierra Leone. It was also involved in Ukraine, in Georgia. Many times I came across documents about Metabiota. Yeah. It was very much involved in this Pentagon program, not only in one country, but in many countries. Definitely of interest. But also what I noticed was that the Pentagon spent a lot of money on this program, millions of dollars, but local scientists, they are paid very little, symbolic sums. This means that the rest of the money goes elsewhere. Yes. Where does it go? The Pentagon has spent $2.1 billion on this program as of 2014, now it is probably $2.5 billion. The question is, why did the Pentagon spend $2.1 billion on overseas biolaboratories, or as they say, on the health of foreign people, instead of spending this U.S. taxpayers' money on the health of its own citizens?
Yeah.
Where is the sense?
There isn't a sense. Look at Biden announced $14 billion to Ukraine here just the other day, and $1 billion of that was in arms, you know, weapons. It's insane. But some people have said that basically Ukraine, I guess much like Georgia, ever since the coups there, right, the coups that NATO, CIA, Pentagon, DOD, you know, there's all these a big group here of different interests, right, that are doing these things. The Ukraine have been used as a kind of a playground, even like a slush fund, because as you say, it looks like a lot of money that's being poured into, let's say, there's this company that comes in and they're going to help to build up the infrastructure, or they're going to, I think even was the Russian foreign ministry, I think it was, that were detailing a Canadian born, she was like ethnically Ukrainian, but she was born in Canada, and she became the head of the health department in Ukraine between them. It was only a couple of years or so, but apparently she oversaw that. That was the period when some of these labs were built and funded, right? I forget her name now. But the point is that...
Yes, actually she was Ulana Suprun. This is her name.
Yeah.
She was an American citizen and was given an Ukrainian citizenship by the former president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko. She was an American citizen, yes. And because under the Ukrainian constitution, a minister cannot have dual citizenship, So she was appointed an acting minister, not an actual minister. So they even risked violating their constitution in order to put her in this position, Minister of Health. Why? Why did they need exactly this person, American national, without even Ukrainian citizenship? But then they gave her Ukrainian citizenship, but because she had an American citizenship as well, she was appointed an acting minister, not a real minister.
Right, right. Yeah, here she is, Ulana Sopran, and then her husband has some tie. At least Russians call him a propagandist and stuff, and I think he was Canadian-born maybe or something like that. But anyway, this whole network of people, just at the right time, just at the right spot, obviously, like, puppets, right, to serve a greater interest. And to back to my earlier point, there seems to be millions of dollars are being poured into Ukraine and other countries, and at least a portion of that goes directly back into the pockets of the very people that are, like, passing these bills and approving all the funds going to foreign nations and stuff like that. So it seems to be, I'm not sure slush fund is the right term for it, but it seems to be, let's simplify it, massive corruption around these nations that are being used as a proxy for whether it's American interests or those who the ruling class of America. Let's be generous on that front. But what do you make of this, Diliana?
Exactly. This is a major concern. I'm really shocked why the American journalists, why didn't they ask simple questions? Why and how all this money was spent? Because from what I see, really, the Georgian or the Ukrainian scientists, they were paid so little,
yeah,
symbolic sums. Where was the rest of the money spent or allocated? Because either they performed something very big, expensive as a research, or we are talking here about corruption or fraud. This is a major concern. $80 million for Ukraine, and in the end they say, we just funded their biolaboratories and that's it. Okay, but $80 million, they already funded these biolaboratories. We're talking about biological research. We're not talking about construction of new biolaboratories as of 2020. And the construction of the two new biolaboratories was under another contract, and it was $23 million contract. So we have only $80 million for biological research. This is really of interest and must be of interest, at least to the American people, because this is their taxpayers' money. I don't know if they performed very expensive research, which is also of concern, or they just stole the money. I don't know what is if this is the case or the other option.
Yeah.
Which is also very worrying that they performed something very expensive and very, very worrying. Because what is it could be that is worth $80 million?
Yeah, it's insane. In fact, it's so corrupt. It's just through and through. There's no one along the chain of command that's asking any questions. And as you say, you can't trust the journalists. They're in the pockets. They're like CIA / State Department. I mean, look at how many agents, even from intelligence services, has now gone straight into the media. These used to be covert programs when intelligence, like, infested journalists or, you know, certain news organizations and things like this. Now it's just that they're just reading the press releases from intelligence and military sources, essentially, and no questions asked, just as fact. So that's that. We have to turn to alternative media and people like you to get some real answers on this, as far as I'm concerned. And regarding the corruption, I mean, they say that Ukraine is corrupt, and of course that's true, right? But the reason why it's corrupt is because you have all these coups in Ukraine all the time. There's all these people meddling. There's all these other interests there, whether it's business interests, biopharma interests, weapons manufacturing interests, or just politicians using it, as I said, as a slush fund, as a way to make money on it, right? So the most corrupt country here, as far as I can see, is the U.S. They're the ones who are creating corrupt countries. That's how corrupt they are.
Exactly. It is, I think in this situation, it is the the blame lies actually with the local governments, because they allowed this project and they accepted without even questioning voluntarily all these experiments allowed them to take place on their territory, on their soldiers. I really have no idea how is this possible. In Bulgaria, my country, I can give an example. Recently, I published a report on such Pentagon-funded program being implemented in Bulgaria, on Bulgarian soldiers. And the reaction of our institutions and media was, this is for our benefit, for the good of our soldiers. Let's not question the activities of the Pentagon. They are our allies, and we must accept whatever they say as true. However, when members of the Bulgarian parliament challenged the Bulgarian authorities to provide the contract, the agreement signed between Bulgaria and the Pentagon or this institute, Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, which is the biggest medical research facility of the Pentagon in the United States. So they challenged the Bulgarian authorities to provide this agreement. It's been 3 or 4 weeks and yet no answer. If this was for our benefit, why aren't we supposed to see this agreement? Why didn't Bulgarian authorities make it public? What is written in this agreement? By the way, in the document that I obtained from the US government website, it is written that all participants and contractors under this program have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. They are not allowed to disclose any information that the US government doesn't want public to know. Why is this agreement, non-disclosure agreement, if always for our benefit, if it is just pure science, why aren't we supposed to know details about this project and these activities? And why are all journalists from the mainstream media so belligerent, literally?
I know.
They are ready to fight, they are ready to kill you if you dare challenge the official government narrative that it is all for our benefit.
Yeah.
They're
paid by the government.
You remember better than me what experiments the United States performed in the past on its own citizens. And I'm sure that when these experiments were taking place, nobody believed. People probably also thought it was conspiracy theory. But 30, 40 years later, when all this information became public, people see the real atrocities that were performed on African Americans, for instance, this project on syphilis. That was a huge scandal in the past. They didn't treat African Americans that were infected with syphilis only to see what is going to happen if these people are left untreated. And as a result of this, many people died. Their wives were also infected, and there were babies that also died as a result of this program. And what was the idea? To see what is going to happen if you don't treat somebody from syphilis, when the treatment against syphilis was already available at that time. Why do we have to believe that these people have changed? They did it in the past many times, many occasions and in many countries. Why do we have to believe that now it is something different? This is a military program. It is not even a civil program. This is a military program taking place in 25 countries across the world.
Yep, and again, that's why I said what I said, that this is a kind of a ruling class, really, of many of the countries we're talking about that are doing this. It's not, they're not looking after the interest of their own population anymore. These are not national interests. This is a transnational clique, international people. They're making money on this. They're weaponizing, viruses and diseases and things like this, right? One thing I want to return to as well is the issue with Georgia, because again, I think 2005 was the Rose Revolution, I believe, right? And I just remember at the time, Chakasvili, as largely as I understand it, he was kind of a puppet. He was kind of put in place there. But I would assume, Diljana, that this had to do with the coup and the overthrow of the government there. Through the Orange Revolution is in Ukraine. That was later, but that's the reason why you had a lot of people in place in Georgia that basically, like, rubber stamped, approved the biolabs and things like that, right? I assume that's what happened, or do you have any other? Did they just bribe people, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. What happened in Georgia, the same happened in Ukraine. It is the same scenario everywhere. You are absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, this program, it started a long ago, but it developed from a non-proliferation program, it developed into biological engagement program, and it was a pure biological research, nothing to do with non-proliferation, because in the beginning it was to help these host nations, countries, to destroy the remnants of the Soviet Union bioweapons, or the factories that had produced such bioweapons. Then it developed into biolaboratories that are not transparent, that are doing very questionable studies, that are funded with, again, we don't know what portion of the money goes for research, what portion goes to the contractors. There is no transparency, but from what I have seen, local scientists, they receive really little money, like few hundred dollars at the maximum, few hundred dollars, which is comparing to the millions of dollars, which is nothing. And they claim that they just fund local scientists. This is not true, because they take $80 million. They say we just fund local scientists. And I see in the documents that the local scientists, they have taken a few hundred dollars.
Wow.
This is a big lie. Where is the rest of the money? This is corruption, obviously. But nobody is investigating where this money has been spent, on what.
Yeah, it's crazy. And for a moment, come back to the coronavirus and the research there, gain of function and these kinds of things. And then the rollout, of course, of the vaccine in and of itself. There's come out now that even the U.S. government through NIH was actually owning a patent, allegedly, apparently, together with Moderna, who's kind of the founder, like the foundation of this new technology, the mRNA technology that they wheeled out in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. And even a Daily Mail story here said recently that COVID virus contains tiny chunks of DNA that matched sequences that were patented by Moderna about 3 years before the pandemic begun, right? All these things are, the puzzle pieces are kind of falling into place, at least if you ask me, in terms of why this happened to begin with. But the rollout of the vaccine is a whole other issue. And look at how much money that has made these companies. And apparently even the U.S., I'm not sure if the U.S. government gets money off of the money that Moderna makes, but I forget how much it was that they put in at the time, 60 million or maybe 600. I forget the number. It was some crazy number, at least. But are you familiar with any of this at all? And what do you make of the offering the so-called cure for the virus, as part of the whole outbreak of this virus?
I don't want to speak pro or against the vaccines against COVID, but I'm not vaccinated, and I was infected by a person, my neighbor, who was fully vaccinated. She didn't believe that she would ever have COVID, but on the contrary, she had very bad COVID. So did I. I wasn't vaccinated, and we experienced the same symptoms. So I'm not a scientist. I don't want to judge whether vaccines work or not. But from what we've witnessed, they didn't work. They were promoted, but as saving lives, but recently declassified documents that were actually made public thanks to the court. What Pfizer, for instance, claimed, and the U.S. Drug Administration about the safety of the vaccine turned out to be very misleading, because this vaccine has led to death cases. And the list is many pages. I tried to read it, but it would take me days to read the whole list of side effects and deaths that were registered. So I can also mention that, talking about the Lugar Center in Georgia, one pharmaceutical giant, I don't know if your YouTube channel will be taken down if I mention the name.
It's okay. We're not on YouTube, Delina. We were censored that back in 2019, but I appreciate your concern. But go ahead. You can say whatever you want.
Just put it that way. People want to read the article. I published it on my website. But this pharmaceutical giant, this American pharmaceutical giant, provided its medicine against hepatitis C for free to the poor Georgian people, simply because this pharmaceutical giant cared so much about the population of a country, small country on the other part of the world. So they provided their medicine for free. As a result, I mentioned already, 248 people died, and the cause of death was registered as unknown in the majority of cases. And actually, they provided for free this medicine, like a human trial. And the government of Georgia, instead of protecting its own people, it signed an agreement with this pharmaceutical giant, under which this pharmaceutical giant cannot be held to account. It is fully indemnified for deaths or injuries to the local population. Again,
yes,
we have the same with the COVID vaccine. Yeah. We have the same with everything here. Just people's life doesn't matter. I don't know why all these governments, why are they working for pharmaceutical giants instead of protecting its own people? I have no explanation.
As far as
absolutely
I know,
absolutely no explanation.
It's they call it regulatory capture, where the companies get so large that they basically end up, in some cases, just outright buying out the politicians. But in many regards, it's this what do you call it? Swing door, revolving door politics, where basically, and this happened with, look, the former head of the FDA, Scott Gottlieb. He went from being in the working for, I forget which biomedical company it was, then he was positioned as the head of the FDA, and then he goes right back sitting on the board of Pfizer, and then he goes on television and talking about how safe and effective the vaccine is. These people are making money on this. The Pfizer is so large. Even Trump, actually, this is an interesting story, and it was Bill Gates. It was a clip the other day. It was circulating. This is back to 2017 or maybe earlier, where apparently Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been, you know, talking about COVID and he's talked about the vaccines and side effects and things like that, mentioned that he managed to get a hearing with Trump, and they were sitting down talking about, we need to look into the side effects or whatever. And according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., later on, the Pfizer made like a $20 million donation or something to the Trump campaign, and he ended up dropping that, right? Even Bill Gates later confirmed that too and said he was part of that meeting. And he said, luckily, they dropped that and they didn't investigate. So the point is, what I'm bringing it up is, there's so much money from the big pharmaceutical companies that have their hands on all these politicians and people along the way that's supposed to be, you know, like the CDCs and the FDAs, they're supposed to be checking in on things. They're supposed to warn if there's any problems, right? But again, look at this list here. I'm showing the 9 pages of known adverse reactions to the vaccine that were leaked here the other day. And luckily, that was because of a federal judge who ordered them to be released. Initially, FDA, I think it was, together with Pfizer, had requested this to be hidden for about 75 years, right, before this finally came out. So we're lucky to have it. But the point is, it's rotten to the core, Diliana. It's just so corrupt, and it seems like almost everyone along the way has a vested financial interest in keeping the lid on these things.
The sad thing is, and I'm noticing it now again and again, it was the pandemic, it was COVID the obsession with vaccines. Now it is the war in Ukraine, and the people now, they are forced, not only now, they are constantly forced to live in fear. Media, politicians, they are trying to install in people constant fear, be it the pandemic, be it the war in Ukraine, the fear that we are all going to die any moment now, be it from COVID, be it from Russia, because Russia is going to invade Europe and there will be a third world war and we are all going to die. This is what you are witnessing if you take your information from the official sources. For instance, in Europe, my country included, all alternative sources of information now are banned. All Russian media channels, they are banned.
Yeah.
And the only official information that people can obtain comes from the Ukrainian government and from Western media. There is no alternative source of information. Why? In that way, people are forced to believe in this story that there is such a huge threat against us, that we need to voluntarily sacrifice our comfort and pay higher prices for gas, for petrol, for food, for everything as a result of the sanctions that we are going to impose on Russia, because we need to counter the biggest threat, which is our life. This is, I'm not joking, this is what our media are telling us all the time,
yeah,
that we need to voluntarily give up everything and to pay the higher price of food, petrol, gas, everything that
yeah,
these sanctions involve, because we need to counter Russia. And the funny thing is that Bulgaria, my country, we borders on the Black Sea, which borders on Russia and Ukraine. We have many Bulgarians living in Ukraine, and in Russia, we have many Russians and Ukrainians living in Bulgaria. It is very hard for our politicians to brainwash Bulgarians people here, because mm-hmm, we have common history, cultural links. Bulgaria gave the alphabet to Russia. We gave them the Christianity. Russia helped us liberate in 1887 from the Turkish occupation many years ago. But and every year we celebrate our Liberty Day, when we say thank you to Russia. So we have such historical links, and they now are trying to install fear in Bulgarians against Russia. It is funny because it is the opposite. It is not actually funny, probably it is tragic, just tragedy. Because why are they doing this? Why? What for? For instance, you in the United States, probably you have this narrative because the U.S. government views Russia as a threat. Okay, but here in my country or in Europe, why is that? It makes no sense, but this is how the propaganda machine is working. Install fear, fear and control the people. This was during the pandemic and now during the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Tomorrow it will be something else, but they always need a threat, life-threatening event, so that people accept everything and oblige and don't challenge what they are told.
Yeah, the current thing, whatever the current thing is, that's what we're into, and it's 100%, right? And of course, again, this is a great disservice to the West. We, you know, I brought it up on our show many times, but just like the, of course, this is driving Russia into the arms of China, and there's a separation now, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot in the West. Look at the dependency that EU has on Russian oil and gas. What are they going to do come this winter? they're now, because of the import-export bans, essentially, there is limitations in fertilizer. Russia's one of the biggest producers. You have the wheat, you have grain. Again, Ukraine, Russia, one of the biggest producers and world exporters of that. Even the crisis in Yemen, the starvation crisis, which no one seems to get. I don't see any Yemen flags on any social media profiles anywhere. You know, there's like 161,000 people at the brink of catastrophic starvation in Yemen right now, and part of that is attributed to the fact that there's Ukraine has basically stopped all their exports of grain and some of the staple crops, and so it's all driven in the media, right? And as you said, the oil and gas situation, we're in the West are going to suffer tremendously from this, and then the politicians in the U.S. like Biden and Nancy Pelosi are calling it the Putin price hike, as opposed to taking responsibility and saying, well, obviously it's because of your dumb policies and again the continued aggression by NATO. We haven't mentioned this yet, but this is a kind of an obvious fact at this stage. But NATO and the Western forces were antagonizing and pushing, and Zelensky, of course, in my view, as the puppet that he is, was going along with this. They were asking for NATO membership. They were beginning to eyeing nuclear weapons. The conflict in Donbass and Luhansk, that was kind of ramping up. It was getting worse and worse. And if you ask me, Diliana, they set a trap, essentially, for Russia, but they didn't have any option. They were painted into a corner. What are they supposed to do? Wait and have, and the biolabs thing is like just another absurd level to the whole thing, where they realize that the threats against Russia are so existential that they were forced to act, essentially. But I put the blame completely on Zelensky, NATO, and those who control the West. What do you see as the reason why all this started?
If the United States and Europe really wanted peace, they would have stopped the weapons supplies immediately, but we are witnessing exactly the opposite. They are sending more and more weapons. By sending more and more weapons, they are doing exactly the opposite. They are preventing the peace from happening, because actually the United States and Europe, they have interest into extending this conflict. Actually, I don't know if Europe have an interest. Europe is a totally totalitarian, and it is not independent union. It follows exactly the U.S. policy, and it doesn't show any reasoning in its decision, because all the decisions of Europe, they are against the European citizens. We suffer of these bureaucrats in Brussels. Yes. Their decisions are totally against the interest of the European Union, but they are in line with the interest of the United States. So if all of them wanted this war to finish, they would have stopped the weapon supply, because you can't say we support the peace, but at the same time, how do you support the peace? By sending more and more weapons. So the United States has interest to extend this conflict so that Russia suffers and Ukraine suffer more casualties, damages, so that Putin is further demonized and Ukrainian President Zelensky is further glorified. He was even compared in Western media with Churchill. And I'm leaving to you to judge if such historical comparison is justifiable.
I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize just yesterday. Look at that. I mean, this is insane, right?
Obama was also won the Nobel Peace Prize, no matter that during his presidency, somebody calculated that every few minutes the United States dropped a bomb.
He dropped more bombs, Diliana, on in the Middle East than George W. Bush did. And again, he got the Nobel Peace Prize basically just for showing up. He hadn't even done anything yet. He got it right away. Then he ended up being worse on the foreign policy issue, almost, if that's even possible. But this is not about, I mean, this is all, as you said before, good point you made, like, this is all just about complete control of the masses' minds, of just creating a scenario. And again, I mean, look, Zelensky, he's a comedian. He's literally an actor. He had a TV show where he becomes the president, right? Servant of the people. The UK is going to broadcast it now. Channel 4 has bought the series. They're going to run it. It's back on Netflix now and stuff. This is all like management. This is media, psyops, essentially, if you ask me. What do you think?
Absolutely, yes. The reality on the ground has nothing to do with the reality that media depicts. I've been a war correspondent. I covered the wars in Libya, in Gaza, in Syria, and what I've seen myself, it is so true. Truth is the first casualty of every war. What I've seen on the ground, it has nothing to do with what media show to the people. It is a big, big lie. It is so disappointing. And for instance, what was in Syria? Terrorists, that they armed, they thought that the world, that these are moderate rebels. This war, Al-Qaeda, in the beginning, because I started covering this war almost since its beginning. So this so-called moderate rebels, they were Al-Qaeda terrorists. Then the Islamic State split from Al-Qaeda in Syria and the new terrorist group was formed. I interviewed the deputy commander of the Free Syrian Army, the so-called moderate rebels. He told me that they exist only on papers. He was even in Turkey. He wasn't present in Syria. He said that the more radical a group is, the more weapons it gets. And then I published another investigation with documents proving that weapons from Eastern Europe were transported on 350 diplomatic flights chartered by the Pentagon and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. And these planes, this aircraft, transported weapons to terrorists in Syria, also in Yemen. But for the world, this was presented as humanitarian aid,
yeah,
or military aid to the moderate rebels. But when these so-called moderate rebels started behaving American journalists and American nationals, all of a sudden they became a terrorist organization, the Islamic State. But before that, they were moderate rebels. I've seen myself a lot. Now what I'm not in Ukraine, so I'm very reserved in giving an assessment of the situation because I'm not present there. But from what I'm seeing, I see absolutely the same scenario as the one that was that I witnessed in Syria. Absolutely the same. We have the new Nazis in Ukraine now. We had the terrorists in Syria. We have armed supplies to the new Nazis. We had armed supplies to the terrorists in Syria. Always the same. We have the claim that the world is under a constant threat by Russia. Then it was the world is under constant threat by the Islamic State. This is the same narrative, just the actors are different and the countries are different, but it is the same.
Yeah, the parallels is very striking, actually, and I'm thinking back to, as you said, basically the White Helmets, right, one of these supposed humanitarian groups and organizations that were getting help and funding from the West, and somehow, miraculously, not maybe every time, that would be hyperbolic, but many times, remarkably, they're first on location whenever someone, a bomb goes off or a supposed plane that, Assad bombs his own population. They show up. They're first on location. They get it all on film and stuff, right? There was so much management. I'm not saying it's completely Wag the Dog, where the American movie, where they basically just kind of invent the war and it's all being run on the television. Obviously, there's real conflicts here. Obviously, there's people fighting. I'm not trying to say that. But many of the things around seems to be staged, and unless I can get something confirmed, maybe multiple sources, even then it would be hard. My default position is to kind of to assume that it's some media operation, right? I mean, in Ukraine already, the bombing of one of the television towers, and someone, I think it was South Front or some source, pointing out that the bodies that were shot, or they filmed, rather, they shot them, filmed them later on it was struck in the morning, they filmed them in late in the evening, they already had rigor mortis, they were lying very close together, and then they said there was a morgue close by, and someone said we don't have 100% proof, but it's highly likely that they took bodies out of the morgue and placed them and filmed them there just to make it look bad for, for Russia and Putin, basically. So, I'm not saying all the things we're seeing are staged, but I'm saying it's a real, in these times, as crazy as things are, it's a real possibility that some of the footage you might see out there with people bleeding and screaming, it could be staged, right? I mean, we saw some of those things in Syria. We played at the time some famous footage of some guy that laying in the rubble, I forget if he gets up afterwards or if he goes and lays down first, you know, and they just cut out the portion where he's laying there screaming, and we see it in the West, and we think, oh my God, look at that, Assad dropped another bomb on his own people. And that's really kind of how simple it is to get that hype and support, Diliana, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because who wins the information war wins the real war. So now, actually, what we're witnessing is an information war. And now the Ukrainian side, the American side, they are winning this information war simply because they have the advantage of controlling a lot of mainstream world media that are considered to be a source of information to many countries. That's why they have an advantage. And because other alternative media outlets, they are either banned or censored.
Yeah.
And fully blocked. You need to install VPN to be able to access the other point of view. And this is in violation of all journalistic principles. In a conflict, you need to present all possible point of views. Now we have only the one of the two point of views. We don't have the full picture.
Yeah.
And you need to resort to alternative sources of information to have this clear picture and to judge yourself what is really going on in Ukraine.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, I wanted to ask you one thing as well. We're going to round up here shortly. It's been a very interesting discussion. A lot of things here that just like we're living such crazy times with all of this going on and how easy it is to manipulate people and control them and, you know, make them believe something essentially. But you did a little research on how Bulgarian weapons ended up in the hands of Al-Nusra Front, I guess, technically, right? But again, that's Al-Qaeda, right? And we were talking before we started a little bit, Bulgaria, NATO member, they became a NATO member over a decade ago now. I actually didn't know that, but of course they would, right? And NATO wants to circle Russia with all the countries that they can. The Baltics joined recently. Sweden, my country, has not joined. But that's kind of on paper only. There's still a vassal state of U.S. interest, to be honest. But tell us just briefly about that, if you can, what you found out there. And again, do you have the same forces there in Bulgaria? Is the government in the pocket of these international globalist interests? Or how would you describe the situation? And again, how did the weapons end up in the hands of Al-Nusra Front?
I witnessed this myself. I was covering the Battle of Aleppo. It was December of 2016. And when the terrorists from Al-Nusra Front, this is the Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, retreated from their positions, I was able to enter a warehouse, underground warehouse, full of heavy weapons with my country, Bulgaria, being the country of origin of these weapons. I was shocked because I witnessed many incidents in which rockets fell next to us. And in one case, even such a rocket fell next to us, to our hotel, and beheaded a mother and her 5-year-old child before my eyes. This mother and her child were heading to the supermarket to buy food, but they were hit by a rocket and died. Not only did they die, they were beheaded. And when I entered into this warehouse, I saw the country of origin of this rocket, Grad rocket, Bulgaria, my country, Bulgaria. I filmed everything, documented everything with the serial numbers of the weapons, the size on the boxes of weapons, showing who the exporter was, the manufacturer, the exporter, everything, all information needed for the Bulgarian prosecutors to launch an investigation. So when I published this report, the Bulgarian prosecutors, they launched an investigation which lasted 2 weeks, and their conclusion was that they checked into the factory, the manufacturer of these weapons, but they couldn't find a contract signed between this manufacturer and somebody in Syria. By saying somebody in Syria, this is This was on Nusra Front, the terrorists. Does anyone think that this manufacturer will have a contract with Al-Qaeda for these weapons? Of course not. So they, the case was closed and nobody was prosecuted for this crime, namely arming terrorists. But I continued my investigation and it turned out that all Bulgarian weapons, not only Bulgarian, Eastern European weapons, they were paid for by the United States, the Pentagon in particular, or the governments of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, and were transported on diplomatic flights carried out by the Azeri state-run company Silkway. All was under the cover, under this diplomatic cover. Diplomatic flights are exempt from checks, inspections, and air bills. Nobody knows what exactly was transported, but according to the documents about the flight documentation, they transported weapons and there was information about the exporter, importer. In many cases, the fake user certificate was fake. In many cases, the end user was the United States, but it was written that actually these weapons were destined for U.S. international allies, but who these allies were, it wasn't indicated. This means fake user certificate, because every weapon that is being exported needs to be accompanied by an end user certificate in which it is written who the end user of this weapon is going to be. In this case, the United States even didn't bother to mention who the end user will be. Why? Simply because the end user was Al-Nusra Front in Syria. Al-Nusra Front is Al-Qaeda in Syria. So in this whole scheme, International Weapons Shipment Network or scheme, they transported weapons to terrorists. Or they were aiming these organizations that officially, the United States claimed to fight, but actually they aided them instead of fighting them. This is the biggest hypocrisy that I have ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I'm not surprised. I've kind of gotten used to just seeing this level of corruption, of manipulation, of propaganda, basically, because that's ultimately what it is. It's psyops, it's propaganda, and they're supplying weapons to these the forces that they're fighting and stuff. It's a very manufactured, right? Again, I think the real threat here that we're facing is a kind of an international globalist faction. They're profiting off this. They're profiting it off of war and disease and famine and all these things. And at the end of it, I think they want to depopulate as well. But that's a different story. We don't have to go there right now. But anyway, Deliana, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great having you here. Why don't you tell us, just give us some of the sources that you have. People can follow you, of course, on Twitter. Here's your handle right there. It's simply D and then your last name. Say it again. I'm sorry, I'm butchering that. So that's your Twitter handle right there. Folks, read it on screen. It's very hard to pronounce. You have a YouTube channel as well. You can search for Deliana. I think it comes up, or search for Pentagon Biolaboratories, and it's one of the it should be one of the first videos to come up on that too. It's a great documentary narrated by Patrick Henningsen. He's been a guest many times on the show here. ArmsWatch.com, is that one of the best sources, would you say?
I have been detoxed for a year and a half since one of my last reports on the Pentagon Biolaboratory in Georgia. So it could be a coincidence, but what a coincidence. So now I'm publishing my work on my personal website, Deliana.bg.
Okay, yeah, there you go. You have it on screen right there. Thank you so much again for joining us. It was great having you here. Keep up the good work.
Thank you much for giving me this opportunity to speak up and to share all this information. And you are very brave. And thank you so much to you and to your viewers.
Thank you, Deliana. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're tuning in, through our website, redicemembers.com or redice.tv. We appreciate you. You can also find us, of course, on Odyssey, BitChute, Telegram, Gab TV, VK, Rumble, Twitter. We do upload some to, or we live stream to Twitter, so you can catch us there. We're also on Float, Brand New Tube, Minds, and a couple of other sources. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back with more here soon. Check out redice.tv for much more. And if you want to support our work, sign up over at redicemembers.com. Get exclusive access to some of our shows. You can watch them there first. And we also have exclusive shows just for members. See you boys and girls soon. Take care.